everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 11 of One Tree Hill, titled You're Gonna Need Someone on Your Side, which, fun fact, is a song by Morrissey.
Good for Morrissey.
Great. Moving on. We open on Lindsay putting a blanket over a sleeping Nathan, who is very much still crashing on their couch for the last week. And it shows because his shit is everywhere.
Yep.
Great. And then she goes in the kitchen to find Lucas writing still. And they talk about how Nathan's been there a week and that he and Haley have not spoken at all in the last week. And
bad news. Bad news.
Yeah. And then the conversation turns to their bachelor and bachelorette parties, which we find out that Lucas is a little nervous because Skills is so excited about Lucas's bachelor party. He took the entire week off of work to plan it.
Very unplanned.
Really, I would also be afraid if I were Lucas.
Yeah. And we find out later when Skill starts talking about some of the things he wanted for this party. Yeah, Lucas had every right to be afraid.
Yes.
Then the pair of them.
What? Whose idea was it to put Skills in charge? He's not even the best man. Who?
Let's be honest here. He probably volunteered.
Himself. Yep.
Skills put Skills in charge.
Was like. He probably did some shit that was like, you know, we all know that I should be your best man because we've been friends longer than you and your brother have. But I'm going to let it go if you let me plan the bachelor party.
Yep.
Like, you know that that's how that conversation went.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So then Lindsay and Lucas start to plan. They hatch a little plan here. To have joint bachelor and bachelorette parties at the same place, but not to tell Nathan and Haley, because then if they both are there, they'll have to talk to each other.
Cool.
Great plan in theory there, kids. Great plan in theory.
What could ever go wrong? This whole conversation made me very uncomfortable.
Just all the meddling that the two of them do?
Meddling, the horny meddling. Uh-huh. Like, it was a lot.
Uh-huh. Yes. Then at the other Scott household, Haley is making breakfast for Jamie when he says he saw his grandpa last night. And Haley's like, what? Where? Huh? What? Who? Huh? And he's like, oh, in my dreams. And she's like, oh, okay, good. We'll do a double check tonight before bed. It's fine. And Jamie is super sad, though, because, you know, Nathan's not there. And he asks if his daddy's coming home. And Haley says probably not for a while. And then she gives him his breakfast, which is a smiley face pancake, which Jamie promptly turns into a frowny face pancake.
The saddest.
That boy
is upset.
He plays the most saddest little boy ever. It's so good because it's so sad. Oh, God. Then we get back-to-back scenes of them cutting back and forth between Lucas and Lindsay telling Nathan and Haley that they both just want low-key parties, you know, just the guys and just the girls. Nothing crazy, nothing major. It's fine.
Please don't ask any other questions.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yes. And they seem okay with it. You know who's not okay with it, everybody? Skills. Skills is very bummed. Very, very bummed that Lucas has now put a damper on his bachelor party ideas. Because he and Jamie are hanging out, and Jamie says, well, I just went to a really cool party. It had a bouncy house, cotton candy machine, and donkey rides. And Skill says, yep, I had a donkey on my list, too.
God. The most early 2000 shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, because isn't this about the time that Clerks 2 came out and, like, the donkey
Clerks 2 is a little bit before this, but that's where the joke comes from.
Yeah, the donkey show was in the zeitgeist at this point in time, and I didn't need reminded of it, Skills. Thank you. I had moved on with my life. I had gone to therapy. I've been working on myself after finding out what a donkey show is, and I didn't need this from Skills today. Really didn't.
Yeah, and we're not explaining what a donkey show is, ladies and gentlemen. No, you can do that on your own time.
No, don't do it. It's bad.
I think we really towed the line last week when I started talking about heroin. So sorry about that, by the way.
Anyway, moving on. Then we see Peyton, who comes to the River Court to see Lucas, and is very much prepared to get yelled at after everything that happened in the library. But Lucas is completely oblivious as we find out Lindsay didn't tell him really anything between her and Peyton and what happened. Because she's like, Lindsay didn't tell you what happened? He's like, no, were you mean to her? She's like, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's good. And she's
Lindsay's
like,
really great.
Yeah, no, she says she's really great. And Lucas is very happy to hear Peyton say nice things about her. So
just the most oblivious man that ever walked the earth.
Oblivious meddlesome man on the planet. Oh my god. Yes. God. Then close of a bros, Brooke and Millie are both talking about their significant others, Mouth and Owen. And we find out things are going very well with Mouth and Millie because he does stop by and see her every single day with a treat and a kiss. So Millie says it's two treats if you count the kiss. Yes. And like clockwork, Mouth shows up with a bagel for Millie and a surprise for Brooke in the short form of a mocha with extra foam. And Brooke's very happy about it. But she also tells him some news that Rachel is back in town and she's staying with her, obviously. And Mouth is very shocked at this news. So shocked, in fact, he doesn't give Millie a kiss when he leaves.
Yeah, he Brooke does not handle that well.
No, not at all. And Brooke just fully laid it out in public in the store. Rachel's staying in my house. She just overdosed in my apartment in New York. We found her. We say, you know, just like fully laid it out. I'm like, well,
I mean, it kind of makes sense to me because obviously, as we find out later in the episode, like Millie knows Rachel.
Yes.
And this also true. Probably knows what happened.
Right. Yeah.
So if it's just talking between the three of them, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Then we see Dan Scott getting out of prison.
Boo. They didn't prepare us for this at all.
Nope.
Not okay.
We had a fun 10 episodes there, kids, where he was barely in it.
Oh, I loved it.
Then Peyton goes to see Brooke at the store and hands her an envelope full of cash. And Brooke's like, does my store look like a front for a drug dealer? And she's like, no. I'm paying you back for the money that you lent me to start the record label. And she's like, I didn't lend you this much money. She's like, no, this is double. So you made a great investment. Because obviously Peyton got paid for her distribution deal with the major label for Mia and all that kind of stuff. So Peyton is no longer broke. Yay, Peyton.
Yay, Peyton.
Yeah. Also, I forgot about this particular moment in this episode last week when I was like, it also means Peyton just got fucking paid.
I fully
forgot that literally happens.
Yep.
And they make a point of it.
Yes. And so Brooke's happy to take the money and Peyton asks her, well, what are you doing? And Brooke's real quiet until we see Lindsay come out going, oh my God, Brooke, I love it. In a wedding dress that Brooke designed. And it's a little awkward for, like, I don't know, a couple seconds until
Peyton the entire time.
Well, but Peyton compliments Lindsay and says she looks very pretty. And Lindsay then also explains her and Lucas's meddling plot to get Nathan and Haley back together. And the girls are like, yeah, we're so here for this. Do it. Yep. Yep. You mean we don't have to do it this time? Great. Right. You guys have fun. Yeah.
They're like, yes, please take the reins on this.
Yes. We've done this enough times. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're tired.
Right. Yeah. Then we cut to Skills and Jamie, who are at the party supply store getting supplies, which include an inflatable pirate ship wheel. So cool. Great. Don't know why, but cool. And Jamie
just needed Jamie to have a prop.
Apparently.
Jamie's the party planner now. Skills has bowed out gracefully. He's like, I am the wallet and the chauffeur to
That's very true. To the party planner. Yes. Planner. Yes. I'm here for that. Yes. Have the 4-year-old plan your bachelor party. There we go. Absolutely. Yep.
Especially if he's invited.
Yep. Exactly.
Well,
he's at his house.
Absolutely. It's at his house. He is the most important person in this television show now. Yes. Jamie gets to plan the parties.
Yes. Yes. And Jamie asks Skills if both his mom and dad will be at the party. And Skills says yes. And immediately we see Jamie look and see a family across the aisle of the store playing Rock Band. And he's like, can we play Rock Band at the party? And Skills is like, oh, yeah, we totally can. It's going to be great. Yay. Good job, Skills.
This hurt my heart. This. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Very young child going, that's what happy families do. If my family does this, we can be a happy family again. Like, yeah.
Yep. And you saw the writing on the wall the minute this scene happened, and you're just like, oh shit. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then Lucas and Lindsay are in a store registering for their wedding gifts, which I'm like, bitches, the wedding's like a week away. You're not giving people a lot of time to get your shit, but okay, great, whatever.
I think we're much closer to the wedding now because it's been a week since the basketball game.
Yeah, yes. The wedding is tomorrow, 48 hours.
Like, it's something like that. Yeah, it's very close. It's too close to be registering for gifts. Like, oh, I don't whatever. Okay, great. But we needed them in the store for a very specific reason, and I'm so here for it. Anyway, we'll get to this very soon. While they're registering for gifts, Lindsay asks him about his book again, and he says he's going over it again one more time, and then it's all hers to look at because it's actually finished. Oh, my God. Just then we see Owen and Brooke, and Brooke and Owen make jokes about PDA in the store. Ha, 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 ha. When someone appears, Jesse, who randomly shows up at this store?
You know what? It's none other than Bevan, and she's got some kind of prescription because she's on the mommy uppers.
There.
Like,
yep.
It's a lot.
Because she immediately sees them, goes into a Ravens cheer, and then tells them all that after graduation, she got a job, she got married, and had a son. His name's Nathan. And she pulls out a picture, and it's the same son that Tim has. So Bevan and Tim are together. They have a son together, and we're very happy for these two idiots.
Listen, I missed that was also Tim's. It's been a bit since I've watched an episode, like a couple weeks. Didn't catch that's Tim's son, but I would just like to say that I called it. That was an early prediction for me that those two dummies need to be together and make dumb children. And it, like, there we are.
And you know, they did.
I hope that kid is a fucking genius.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because if he's not, God help him.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Yes. Okay. Then, And then Bevan, being Bevan, says that she's shocked to see Lucas. You're marrying Brooke? I always thought you would have married Peyton.
Yikes.
Yep. Oh, Bevan being Bevan. There's only one way to Bevan to be, and it's the way to be Bevan.
She never has been able to read the room, ever.
Nope. Oh. Never. Never. She also then asks how Rachel is, which Brooke just goes, ugh.
Is this the last we see of Bevan, like, ever? Because
I don't know.
I don't remember. If I'm going to be really honest, I don't remember.
It feels, I guess it's appropriate, but it feels a lot like Tim's cameo. Like, where he comes in, he says, yes, hello. Here's what you missed on Glee, and then leaves and never to be seen again. Rides off into the sunset.
We might see him in another 4 years. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We do have a series finale to look forward to in 7 years.
Dear God.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So speaking of Rachel, we cut to her sitting outside on the balcony of Brooke and Rachel's place, or Brooke and Peyton's place, I should say, sorry, when Peyton comes out and asks Rachel how she's doing. And Rachel says she's doing okay. She knows she can beat this. And when she does, she's going to make it up to Brooke. Cool.
Mm.
Yay. Yay. Mm-hmm. I almost believe her.
She's trying.
Trying real hard. Yes.
Things that happened to her in this episode, I'm fully on not Rachel's fault. Train. Mm-hmm. I am on. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, they do Rachel dirty this episode.
So dirty.
A lot. Which, yeah. Then Owen asks Brooke about Rachel, while they're still in the store, or they're in Macy's, I guess. Yeah. Cause Brooke has her meeting with Macy's, that we've talked about before in previous episodes. And he thinks it's great that she's helping her. And he apologizes for being a little, you know, judgmental and, you know, putting his opinion on things, with stuff. And he's going to be better about that. But just then Victoria shows up down an escalator and informs Brooke that, oh, the meeting with Macy's was moved up and she handled everything. So there's no need for her to do anything with that. And she says, you're dismissed. Go play. That's what you do best.
God.
I hate it.
And Owen tells
this fucking Brooke, woman.
Yep. Yeah. And Owen tells Brooke that she shouldn't have to put up with that, even if that is her mother. But Brooke still refuses to talk about it. I hate Victoria so fucking much.
So much. This episode really so far is peak villain Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Bitch-toria.
Like, murder aside, makes her a worse villain than Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to Lucas taking Jamie home to Haley, and he asks her to look over his new book before he gives it to Lindsay. And she's like, I will happily do that. Remember, I was technically your first editor. And I wanted to say, bitch, that was Glenda.
Who? You're right. Yep.
Glenda was the first person to read the book. So anyway, I digress. Glenda's not around. I wish Glenda was. I miss Glenda.
Glenda. She was a great little addition.
I love that. Yeah. Then Brooke comes home and tells Peyton that she's found her a date for the party tonight. It's a friend of Owen's, and Peyton reluctantly agrees and says he better be cute before she leaves to go get ready. Rachel then comes in. Hold your Snickers till later, girls. We're almost there. Then Rachel comes in and she starts to ask Brooke, you know, how they talked before about her getting back to work with Clothes Over Bros. And she's like, I think I would like to start modeling again soon. And Brooke clarifies for her that when she said that, it was more along lines of you could start in the store working the retail side, you know, and kind of working your way up, because the model lifestyle really is not healthy for you to try to stay sober. And Brooke tells her she let her down once and she's not going to do that again. And Rachel assures Brooke that it was not her fault what happened to her and she's not going to slip again. And she's going to do a lot better. But Brooke says to take it easy and take it in baby steps.
Oh, yikes.
Like, I will say this first half of this episode, it's so nice to see like Rachel trying and being so open, honest, sweet, caring, kind, like being a good person for like the first time I think we've seen her in a very, very, very long time be a good person, you know, and trying to do good. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Then we get a really gross scene where Dan goes into a store to buy Jamie a basketball and he flirts with the store clerk and it's really gross. And can I move on?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Moving on. Kay. Millie, what? Do you have something you wanted to say about poor Patty?
Poor Patty. I mean, she says, your grandson, you must really take care of yourself. And the two things that popped in my head is that's what happens when you have a kid when you're 17. Uh-huh. And also I had a lot of free time in jail.
When you had a kid when you're 17 and your son had the child when he was 18.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. No, I mentioned this before we started recording, but this episode is a crash course in learning how to ask the right follow-up questions. And poor Patty learns that the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Dear God. Yeah. Well, because she does say, you must have a lot of time. Or you said, you must take care of yourself. He said, I have a lot of time, free time on my hands. I'm like, oh, God, Patty, run away.
Oh, boy, did he.
Run away, honey. Run away. Yeah. Anyway, then Millie comes over to Mouth's and asks if he's going to go see Rachel before the party. And Millie is concerned because we realize that, of course, Millie has seen Rachel in action many, many times over the last few years while Rachel worked for Brooke. And she's concerned because she knows Mouth has a sexual history with Rachel, as she says. But Mouth reassures her that Rachel is just a friend. And, you know, but Millie's still super afraid about everything, but tells him just to go see her and she will see him at the party, and she leaves. Great.
Yep. Do they have a sexual history?
That's what I didn't think so. I think it's like pseudo-sexual, like almost. Yeah, who knows?
I think, based on what happens later in this episode, that something happened in Honeygrove before she left.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think they slept together.
No.
But I don't think nothing happened.
There's some sexual tension there between the two of them. We'll say that.
Sure.
But yeah. Then we go to Lucas and Nathan, who arrive at Nathan's house for the party. And Lucas admits to him that, I lied to you. Haley's inside. Nathan's like, yeah, I know. And Lucas is like, how did you know? He's like, Lucas, you meddle. It's what you do. Nobody's shocked by this, dude. Yeah. And then Nathan makes the comment, I have to ring the doorbell at my own house. And he rings the doorbell, but we also see that Owen's ringing the doorbell because Brooke's very excited to see Owen and his new and his old friend, who turns out, who is it, Jesse? Who also is here?
I forgot his name.
Chase.
It's Chase.
And Brooke is very stunned to see her ex-boyfriend being best friends with her current boyfriend.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yep.
The number of times I said yikes during this episode. Just yes. Like.
So many.
Yes.
So many.
And then we cut back to Lucas and Nathan, and it's Haley answers the door, and she's stunned to see Nathan there. And then he immediately cuts back to Brooke, who storms into her bedroom with Peyton and Rachel, freaking out because Chase is Owen's friend, and Peyton and Rachel are enjoying it all way too much. It's kind of hilarious. To watch Brooke spiral just a little bit.
God. I did enjoy Chase like jogging Owen's memory though. Like,
oh, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. Okay. Yeah. And Brooke immediately tells Peyton, she says, if you hook up with Chase, you are taking a cab home. And Peyton immediately then reaches into the giant envelope of cash that Brooke has on her dresser from her and takes some cash out and says, fine, then you're paying for it. Great. And she's like, it's going to be fine. If it's awkward, you can just say so. It'll be fine. And immediately we cut to them driving to the party and going, this is awkward. And Owen's like, am I missing something? What's going on? And Chase explains to Owen about, remember when we were roomies, how I used to talk about this girl who I really liked, you know, and who I lost my virginity to, blah, 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 blah. He jogs Owen's memory pretty much that, it's the same Brooke. So, right. Yeah.
What was her name?
And Owen just goes, oh, come on. It's great. It's great.
Horrified glance over at Brooke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's loving every second of it, though. As soon as he says good things about her, she loves it. It's fine. It's perfect. Yeah. I just love the fact that it's like, Owen, Chase told you about her and you didn't figure it out. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
That's on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Then back at the party, Nathan immediately apologizes to Haley for being there, and he says he can just leave if she wants. But Haley says no, he should stay, and they need to talk anyways. Just then, Jamie and the boys come in, and he's very excited to see his mom and dad together. And he immediately asks them if they can play Rock Band together. And Haley immediately says she's busy, honey, and he should just go play with his dad because, you know, he misses him. And she leaves. Great. Mm. At the party, Chase is still very smug with Owen, and it's great. And it's like, Owen's like, I should have remembered that it's Brooke, and you're Brooke, and it was Brooke, and we both said Brooke. And but then Owen's like, yeah, but you said Brooke who started a fashion line. And Chase is like, yeah, you should have caught that. Yep. And then we also see a quick scene of Mouth coming to see Rachel, but it immediately cuts to Nathan and Haley starting to talk again. And Jamie tries to interrupt them again and asks them to play Rock Band. Haley is still too busy for it. And Jamie asks, he kind of is insistent and says, but I want to play Rock Band. And she says, well, then go play Rock Band. And she leaves. Mm. Immediately, Jamie goes, I meant all of us together. And Nathan understands and then gets pulled away with something else. I can't remember. But then Skills tries to get him to play, and Jamie declines, hands him the guitar, and walks off, which Brooke sees.
Poor kid.
He's so sad.
Oh.
Yeah. Then we go to Mouth and Rachel, and they're talking on the couch, and Mouth asks why she never called him, as he would have dropped everything to help her, and Rachel basically says, that's why I didn't call. And then Rachel makes it really weird by trying to jump his bones for a quote unquote natural high.
Bless her.
Oh, boy. Which Mouth promptly turns her down. Good man, Mouth.
Yes.
You have a Millie. It's fine. Right. Yes. And she is kind of, she seems like devastated about it in a lot of ways. And he tells her that she needs to let go of whatever makes her think she isn't good enough and to learn that she really does matter in the world. Which is very sweet.
Yeah, if Mouth had been the last person to talk to her in this episode, her story would be a lot different, I think.
Yeah. Then Mouth leaves for the party, and Rachel gets a text about a very different party. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Then we go back to Jamie, who is in his room, when Brooke and Owen come in, and they cheer him up a little bit with Brooke reminding him that, you know, Nathan and Haley love him very much. And Owen, you know, making him one of the guys, being like, thanks so much. Thanks to you, I got a second chance with Brooke once underneath all the clothes. And Jamie just goes, so did you find out?
God, he's been hanging out with Skills too much.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Oh. And Brooke immediately goes, okay, that's enough boys time. Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But they do cheer him up a little bit, which is very sweet. Then Lucas goes to Haley to apologize for the setup, and she says it's okay because their hearts were in the right place. And she tells him that he picked the right person to spend the rest of his life with. And he just says, she also did.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
And then we cut over to Nathan looking at her longingly from the other side of the kitchen. Uh-huh. And I'm like, Haley, look how hot your husband is. Haley, yeah. Look at it. Come on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Then Chase and Peyton are outside talking, and the conversation kind of turns to Lucas, and he asks if she still loves him, but she just says, well, he's with Lindsay now. And Chase then immediately just kisses her, and she kind of asks what he was doing, but he says, Lucas, 3 o'clock, he was looking.
Mm-hmm. Way to look at a good egg.
He's yep. such a good egg. I love Chase.
He's
love
just Chase. Like cackling this entire episode.
Oh, he's having the best time.
Yeah. Yep. His best friend's uncomfortable. His ex-girlfriend's uncomfortable. Her best friend's uncomfortable. He is just cackling.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's having a great time.
Yeah.
Then Mouth gets to the party, and Millie immediately sprays his face with Silly String and explains that's how when she was a child, she used to tell boys that she liked them. But she's going to stop doing that practice and just tells him to consider her the next time he goes to see a hot model that he has history with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get a real quick cute scene of Owen and Brooke having some cake and Owen talking about one of his birthdays where his mom said she was going to get him a Rambo cake, but instead it was just a homemade cake that said happy birthday from Rambo on it. And Brooke just kind of says, that sounds really, really nice. When my mom would even remember my birthday, she'd just throw her gold card at me and say, go buy something.
I can't remember if I told this story on the podcast or not. So when I was 18, the summer I turned 18 was when the 2008 Beijing Olympics were happening. Mm-hmm. And Michael Phelps heyday, right? I am fully in love with Michael Phelps. I am at my dad's for the summer that year. And my stepmom gets me a Dairy Queen ice cream cake, which is the superior birthday cake of all cakes. I will not take any arguments. She goes to Dairy Queen, gets a sheet cake that is summer themed. It has like ladybugs and watermelons on it, and has the poor Dairy Queen employee pipe the Olympic rings on it. And happy birthday, love Michael Phelps. And that is my 18th birthday cake. I do have a picture of it. We can post it on the social medias.
Oh my God.
It will be on the social media shortly. Yes.
Oh, it absolutely will be.
My younger siblings are 12 and 13 years younger than me. So they were 4 and 5, 5 and 6 when this was happening. They were convinced that I was dating Michael Phelps for quite a long time. Oh. And that's what that whole story that Owen was telling reminded mm-hmm. me of. I'm like, do not all parents do that? Is that a weird thing? Like have a birthday.
My parents used to like for like Christmas and stuff, they'd like sign tags as like Like, I think I got a Backstreet Boys calendar one year, and my parents signed it to Caitlyn from Nick Carter. Like, that was definitely, like, our generation parents that, like, our parents did that.
And see, my parents were just farmer and country enough that it was the animals on the farm that would get me the gifts. Like the dogs, the horses.
Shut up.
Yep. Nope. They literally would. I got gifts every year from Petey, my pony, for a long time.
Petey.
Yep. I had a pony named Petey. Yep.
Oh my God. I love Petey. I know he's probably no longer with us.
Oh, he's
I love
very
him.
Dead. He's very dead. He was old when I got him. Yeah, he was older than I got him. Yeah, no, he was a stubborn old little SOB. Yeah, but he was great. Yeah, okay. I got a birthday gift from Petey like every year, I swear.
I would like to point out the fact that we have roasted me several times on this show, myself included, for being a horse girl in a past life. Uh-huh. And we're now learning that you were also a horse girl in a past life.
I mean, I had a, I lived on a farm. What did you
think
I had? You
did live on a farm, so...
Like, I didn't show them. I didn't do anything with them. They were just there.
Okay, fine. That's fair. I'll allow it.
Yeah. They were the most tame, like ridiculously fat and lazy horses on the planet. Like you could literally let them out of their pen and they would just graze and then they would
stay there. Oh, I love it.
No. They would literally like just wander around. And then when it got dark, they would show up at the front door. and knock and
I
go,
love
okay,
this.
We're ready to go back in now. And then we take them in.
This is everything.
Not kidding. Literally.
This is an excellent story. And I'm so glad that this came up.
Yes. This is the best digression we've ever had, I think.
Anyway. Okay. Great. Moving on. Long story short, Owen's mom is great. Brooke's mom is not. And this is hammered home in this next scene that I hate with a fiery fucking passion.
Uh-huh.
So Rachel is at home at Brooke's house. Victoria barges her bitch ass in here and starts to completely tear into Rachel, calling her a freeloader, that she's going to ruin Brooke's life, blah, 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 blah. All this horrible, horrible crap I will not repeat because it's really bad. But then the final nail in the coffin is she says, we know you can't beat this addiction. You're pathetic. And deep down, you know you are, before she leaves, which just devastates Rachel.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. It's so painful. This is another yikes moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I hate it. Then, then one of my favorite scenes. Skills, Junk, and Fergie pounce on Jamie, throw him into the bouncy house, and start playing with him. It's so much fun. They're having a great time. They're roughhousing him a little bit, and Haley immediately breaks it up because she's like, guys, he's not one of the guys. He's a little boy. You guys have to remember that. And Skills, being the smart man he is, tells Haley, no, he's never forgotten how little he is, but he's amazed how little he is because his heart is so big. And he tells her that Jamie just wanted them to be a family again today. That's what it meant for him today. And Skill says maybe they're the ones who have lost sight of things. Ooh. And Haley just leaves.
Drag her.
Whoa.
She needed it. She needed it.
She did. She absolutely did. And I love Skills for knowing, for even still being like, this is just a really nice reminder that Skills wasn't just Haley's best friend. That, like, once upon a time, it wasn't, you know, the River Court boys. It was the River Court boys and Haley.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just Haley really loved that we got that reminder from him in the form of this fucking wake-up call for her.
Yeah, yeah. Skills and Haley were always incredibly close, and it just was not shown a whole lot in the earlier seasons, and it's really nice to still see it today with everything. Yep. Then Lucas and Lindsay sit together and they're like, I wonder if our plan's working. And they see Nathan and Haley talking. They're like, I guess so. And it then transitions to Nathan and Haley, where Nathan apologizes to Haley again. And Haley says, isn't he tired of apologizing for who he is? And he's very confused. And she says, you've always been who you were. And she says she was wrong to even try and change him. And she's sorry for that. And then she tells him she's done trying and walks off. And you want to talk about a devastated face? Nathan's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woof. I hated it.
I hated it. I'm like, I don't like Haley this episode at all. Like, I get it, but I don't like it.
I don't even get it. I am usually Team Haley all the way.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. If you knew who he was when you married him, which I did not understand that comment.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. Are you saying that you knew who he was and married him despite that? Because that sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think the connotation there. At all.
It's a very negative thing. And you can tell what it is. It's her wallowing in the fact of there was the possible infidelity, which we know there wasn't, but she still doesn't believe him on that. And then it's the spiraling of how can I justify? I don't, you know. She's spiraling pretty much is what's going on, which I understand, but I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, I get it because the whole thing was, I mean, yeah, she changed Nathan. Nathan was a jerk before he met Haley and she made him a better person and all that kind of stuff. So she's just using that against him, which I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a fan.
Nope.
0 out of 10. Do not recommend.
Yep. What I do recommend is the next scene, which is Jamie is upstairs in his room with his pet bunny Chester, and Skills comes up and reminds Jamie that no matter what, he's always going to be there for him. And Jamie's like, I know that. You want a pet Chester? He's like, no, I don't have pets. I don't like pets. He's not going to bite, silly. And then he lunges Chester at Skills and he.
That shit was so funny.
Comedy.
It's pure comedy from the 4-year-old. Pure comedy from the 4-year-old and the bunny.
But also the, like, I don't know, the acting chops on this 4-year-old, like that was such like a great, like moment of like acting between those two, and God, Skills Antoine is just like eating up every scene he has with Jamie. And I love it so much.
Yeah. Yep. Then Brooke is getting ready to leave. So she's trying to find her coat in the pile on the bedroom, like we all know at any house party. And Chase walks in and she asks him if he's a hotshot pilot yet. And he says, no, he's saving up for flying lessons to become a pilot by being a carpet salesman. But he's happy. And he tells her Owen's a good guy. And they both agree on that. Nice. Yes. Very sweet. Very sweet.
I know that they probably, like, the only reason they broke up was, like, just, like, normal. Obviously, there was no drama or anything. But, man, I wish that they had, like,
had more time.
I really wanted them to work out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Then, back at the bounce house outside, we see Lucas and Lindsay are laying in it, and they both talk about how if Lindsay's dad and Keith were in a bar in heaven, what would they say? And they both pretty much come to the conclusion that they would be best buddies. And Lindsay tells Lucas how much her father loved him before he passed.
Cute.
It's very sweet. It's very sweet. And it gets context because I don't think we really realize that Lucas knew Lindsay's dad.
He must have passed right after they started dating.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah. So, which even think about that then, if Lindsay had to be there to be there for her mom and her father and all of that stuff at the hospital, Lucas was a part of that.
Lucas was also absolutely there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Context. So then Millie starts to say goodbye to Mouth by shooting him with silly string again. And he stops her from leaving and gives her a kiss as he says, that's the best part of my day. And I missed it today.
Yeah.
There he is. There's Marvin. There,
found him.
So cute.
I love them together.
Mouth and Millie. Gotta love it.
Yep.
Then Haley comes up to Jamie's room and we see Skills and Jamie are in there laying on the bed reading. And Skills sees her and he gets up to leave. And as he's leaving, Haley just tells him, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a very multi-layered thank you. And yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was thank you for a lot of things. But yeah. Then after the party, Peyton and Chase and Brooke and Owen are all walking home. And Peyton and Chase thank each other for having a great night together. And then Peyton just immediately kisses Chase. And he's like, what was that for? She's like, Brooke was watching. And he's like, ah, Good for look. Good looking out. Good looking out. They're adorable. I love it.
Yep.
Then we see Nathan tucking Jamie into bed, and Jamie asks if he's going to be there when Jamie wakes up in the morning. And Nathan says he's probably not going to be, but that's not because of Haley, and he needs to remember that he has the best mom in the world. But Nathan's in timeout right now. And he's trying to explain all that to Jamie while Haley is listening from outside Jamie's room.
That's such a good way to explain it. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also nice because Haley got to hear Nathan genuinely explain to their child how sad he is that he's been kicked out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in that man's voice that is artificial.
No,
It may have been if this were his father.
Yeah. The thing is, it's kind of refreshing to see they don't really lie to Jamie a whole lot, except when it comes to Dan, but we'll forgive him for that.
Valid.
But, yeah. But everything else, they're very open and honest with their child, but are able to explain it in a way where he's going to understand it, which is great parenting.
Well, I mean, and you almost think they kind of have to, because this child's only friends are a bunch of 20 somethings.
Yeah. And he's also a genius. He's smarter than all of them put together.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the man a whiteboard. He's going to probably solve, I don't know what kind of funky equation for time travel or something. Who knows? Then Brooke and Peyton get home, and we find out because Brooke hollers for Rachel, and Rachel is gone. And she comes into the bedroom to see Peyton with an empty envelope of the money. Rachel took the money, and Rachel is gone. And Peyton just says, well, Brooke, you tried.
Ugh.
Yeah. I think what crushes me the most about this scene is how shocked Brooke is and how mm-hmm. unsurprised Peyton is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Peyton knew that this was going to go south, and she's like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be here for my friend when it happened.
Yep. She's going to be a supportive. She's going to be a supportive friend to both of her friends. Cause I mean, Peyton and Rachel were friends, you know? Yeah. So
they talked
yeah.
She was encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we get to Jesse's other favorite scene, which is Dan and Patty again.
Yikes.
And they're in bed, and I don't even remember what she asks to bring it up, but Dan then tells her, I've been in prison for killing my brother. And she's like, well, did you do it? And he says, yep.
She said, we didn't have much time to talk tonight, which means Dan took her to is he still at the lake house, or the beach house?
He's in a motel. He's in a motel.
So Dan
just got out of jail. He don't have a beach house anymore. Please.
No.
You're right. You're right. Sorry. No, that means Dan took this poor lady directly to his motel because he can't afford an H right now. So he took her to his motel room. They fucked. And then she started asking questions.
Which I'm assuming the motel is in within walking distance to the store, because how would he have a car?
Yeah.
So by him picking her up, he just came to the store and was like, hi, you ready to go? I'm across the street.
I love it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Dear God. All right. Then we go to Closeover Bros, where Brooke is working on Lindsay's wedding dress late, and Victoria comes in because she sees the light on and she says, I was in here to make sure that Rachel wasn't robbing us blind. Yes. And Brooke puts two and two together and realizes, were you at my house and did you talk to Rachel? And Victoria admits, oh yeah, I totally did. And Brooke tells her to leave her friends alone. And Victoria, who's annoyed, tells her that this is why she was not invited to their Macy's meeting today, as she's too emotional in her business, and that's why Victoria is there. And Brooke tells her she's only there for the company, not to be a part of her family. But Victoria insists that she helped her with the company and did all this for her. And Victoria says that she earned her help by doing all of this for the company. But Brooke tells her she should not have to earn her help or her love, and fires her.
Thank God.
Yes.
Victoria, who is shocked, tells her she will destroy their company by doing this. But Brooke says it's her company, not theirs. And Victoria tells her she's not an employee. She is her mother. But Brooke still says, you're fired, and asks her to leave. And as Victoria walks out, Brooke begins to cry, but immediately covers up her tears so Victoria doesn't see.
Yep. God.
Uh-huh.
I'm so proud of Brooke.
Me too.
So I think proud. We all are.
It's tough. It's so tough that this is the final straw is that, yeah, you basically just ruined one of my friends' lives by being a complete bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest here. I don't know necessarily if Rachel would have relapsed had Victoria not opened her fucking mouth.
No.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think it was very much we were led to believe by how the episode was going. Rachel was on the right track. She was getting help from Brooke. She was going to, you know, I remember when I first saw this, I fully expected, oh, Rachel's back for the rest of the series. She's going to be a nice little fun shop girl. Her and Millie are going to have some fun, like the little, you know, opposites attract fun situations. That's what I was hoping for. I remember that. And I was very wrong by the end of the episode.
Word.
Yeah.
But the what if of like the adventures of Millie and Rachel would have been hilarious.
My God, please. Mostly, I'm imagining Millie trying to manage the store and Rachel being Rachel and not very good at customer service.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And then mouth just in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Fucking bitch, Toria.
Fucking bitch, Toria. Depriving us of those shenanigans.
Seriously.
Because, honestly, you know, there would have been some shoes on the other foot now moments with Millie being the boss.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. No more blocking the bathroom doors for Rachel, Millie. Nope, you're in charge now, Millie.
Man, you Rachel know? Could have walked in on Millie and mouth making out in the back room and uh-huh. like, damn it.
She would have hated that.
Oh. Uh-huh. Anyway.
God, fucking bitch, Toria. Anyway, okay. Two scenes left. Then we see Brooke come home from the store and immediately fall into Peyton's arms and cry. And the final scenes are Haley sitting in bed reading Lucas's book, and she immediately makes a phone call. And we see that phone call is to Lucas, and she says, we need to talk. And he's like, okay, is everything okay? She's like, no, you can't marry Lindsay. And the episode ends.
Dun, dun, dun.
Amazing. Good.
And thus closes the 99th episode of One Tree Hill, because next week's episode is the 100th episode.
Oh, shit.
What did we think, kids?
Oh, shit. Yep, that it was an episode.
About to be wild.
Mm-hmm. It's about to be so unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. Jesse, I'm going to ask you for your... I'm going to ask you for your...
wild.
Yes. Jesse, I'm going to ask you for your random predictions for the 100th episode. What do you think is going to happen? Off the fly. Off the cuff. Here we go. And go.
Well, Haley did Peyton's job by objecting. So, I don't know. I think... Is it another rebound wedding that goes wrong and never finish? Like, I don't know.
What do you want to happen? God,
I think I already told you what I wanted to happen. I just want like Rachel and Millie buddy cop episode. Like,
she doesn't care about the wedding. She's more angry about the lack of buddy cop Rachel and Millie.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Which is valid.
We're deprived of a sitcom spinoff here, and I am upset.
Yep. Yep. All right. No, anyway.
I mean, of course, I want Haley to come to her senses. Like, I thought she was calling Nathan when she called Lucas. I really did. I don't know. It's
bummer.
This season has taken so many hard left turns from where I thought it would be. So I don't even know about predictions anymore.
There we go. All right. Well, anyway, enough with the predictions. What did we think of this episode? Did we like it? Did we not like it? What did we think?
Yikes.
It's a lot of yikes. And what's really funny is at the beginning of this episode, so like when Lindsay and like Lucas are talking about their, you know, their joint party, I couldn't help but think of like very recently I was talking to somebody about people who do joint bachelor and bachelorette parties. And how most of the time, if that happens, it's because there's a serious lack of trust in the relationship.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and to be fair, like, my own sister has been in two weddings where it was a joint bachelor bachelorette party, but that was just because everybody was friends. And like there was, and it was literally just because like there was basically no like bride versus groom side of the wedding because they were all on the same side.
Mm.
But yeah. I was laughing because I'm shocked that Lindsay didn't suggest a joint party before now.
Right. It's it. Yes, there is a major lack of trust between from Lindsay's end, but also usually the people who are lacking trust are the people actually getting married. And yeah, not like their best man and maid of honor.
Like, right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just. This is also, this episode is like case in point why you need to move away from your small fucking town. Like, like run away, run fast.
But then come back because it's even better when you come back and make everybody else uncomfortable. A la Chase.
Chase.
Chase really got the best end of the deal.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah.
In life, really. Was
thriving.
Yeah. No, he only had to go to the Tree Hill shit show, Tree Hill High, for like 2 months, and then he got to leave with a hot girlfriend, and now he's coming back and is just laughing his ass off. Chase exactly is the winner here.
I love that for him.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah, no, I think Chase and Peyton really the only two having a good time, and everyone else is kind of, okay, sure, great. But
it's
about
damn time that Peyton has a good time.
Right? Yeah, Peyton got money. Peyton has money now. She's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bummer that, you know, her money she gave to Brooke back is gone. But, you know, okay.
I mean, she did her due diligence and that's she paid true. Brooke back.
It's not our fault
that her shitty friends stole it all.
Or that Brooke didn't immediately go to a bank.
Yeah, that like, too.
Yes.
Like, literally, I get, like, a $100 bill for my birthday a couple weeks ago from my parents, and I'm like, it's in my wallet. I can't have this. I gotta, like, deposit it. I can't do this. I can't. What if someone takes it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I recently got a tattoo, and the artist only takes cash. So I was walking around with, like, hundreds of dollars worth of cash in my wallet, and it was the most stressful day of my life. Mm-hmm. Just, like, I do not know. I am not responsible enough for this.
Nope. Same. Yeah. But no, I liked the episode for a lot of good reasons. It's a typical One Tree Hill episode where there's a lot of high highs, there's a lot of low lows, and it's kind of everything in between, and we get to laugh in the middle of it. And
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And it's a very good setup for next week, which, like I said, is the 100th episode. Holy crap.
I know.
I'm buckled in. I am ready for a ride. Woof. Do Karen and Lily come back? That's all I want for the 100th episode, I think, is Haley and Nathan to smooch and Karen Rowe to be back.
I guess we'll find out next week.
We'll find out. Yeah. You and everyone else have to tune in next week to find out. Anything else we want to add, kids?
Nope. Wrap her up.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a good review. It helps with the podcast algorithms and all that good stuff. And follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. If you have a question, comment, or concern, hit us up on Instagram. That's usually where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode for the 100th episode of One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.